597, authorized contract with CH2M Hill to provide planning and project development services for the Central City Multimodal Project not to exceed $590,696.
Very good. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. I'm Gabe Graff with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. I've got a brief presentation here. Thank you. I'm here today to ask you to authorize this contract with CH2M to provide planning and project development support to this project, which seeks to make getting around to and around the Central City safer, easier, and more convenient by foot, bike, transit, through planning, prioritizing, and constructing active transportation projects. I'll provide a quick background on the project and share our schedule and budget and answer any questions you might have. Council nominated this project for Metro's Regional Flexible Fund Program in 2013, and a $6 million grant was approved and included in the 2016-2018 STIP, or Statewide Transportation Improvement Program. And in August of last year, Council authorized an IGA with the Oregon Department of Transportation, programming the first $852,000 of this funding for the planning and development phase. In this phase of the project, we seek to develop, refine, and prioritize active transportation projects using the Central City 2035 plan as a foundation. Our project area matches that of the Central City 2035 plan boundary. Excuse me. And we will focus on making it easier and safer and more convenient to get to and around the Central City by transit, bike, foot, or mobility device, making the most efficient use of our right-of-way, encouraging the most efficient modes of travel while preserving freight and personal vehicle access and mobility. When we applied for the funds, PBOT identified three key issues we sought to address. Safety: half of the high-crash intersections for people walking or biking are in the Central City. The lack of a clear bike network. People biking into our Central City and downtown often feel like they're left behind and not sure where they should be. And on the other side, people driving in our Central City often feel like they're cyclists everywhere and they're not sure where to expect them. And then finally, a lack of clarity on the Bureau strategy for active transportation improvements in the Central City, particularly for the bike network, a concern that we weren't looking at the whole picture. And then since then, of course, growth has emerged as an additional priority. Central City is the densest concentration of people and jobs in the state. This economic success brings transportation challenges. How can we safely and efficiently get people to and from the Central City to the new jobs, the cultural amenities, the dining, the retail? So this is a significant investment in our vision for how to do that and support that growth. What might look like, we'll be looking at these next-generation multimodal infrastructure that provide clear separation for people walking, biking, and driving so everyone knows where they should be. And then, of course, we'll also be looking at how to facilitate more trips in and out of the Central City. Transit priority projects such as this drawing, which illustrates a bus queue jump, may prove key to this effort. And then due to the complexity and the increasing demands of the transportation infrastructure in the Central City, we issued this RFP for consultant services to assist us in this phase. CH2M's proposal was the strongest of the three received and will provide a broad array of expertise that will support from experts at Alta Planning and Design, DKS and Associates, Sprint Communications, Design and Culture Lab, and Enviro Issues for public and stakeholder involvement. Total contract amount is $590,696, including $98,785 in contingency tasks. We have a 13-month schedule, which you can see here. And an exciting aspect of this project is the funding we have includes this planning and development phase, but then also funding for capital construction. So once our 13 months of planning and development are complete, we will be moving into the design construction of actual improvements in the Central City. The end result of this phase will be a prioritized project list. So you can see here our project budget. We have $9 million, $8.04 for design and construction. At the end of this planning and development phase, we will bring to Council a prioritized project list that's been vetted by our stakeholder process. And the first tier of projects will fit within that $8.04 million that we have available. We'll also bring a second tier of projects that we'd hope to construct within the near term, like a five-year window, and a third tier that we considered but hadn't advanced. As I said, the primarily the funding is from this federal funds via Metro, the Regional Flexible Fund Program, but we're also using funding allocated to the project from fixing our streets, the gas tax. Any questions you might have?
Questions? Commissioner Fritz, then Commissioner Fish.
Well, I just have a Scrivener's error, if you'd accept it. It's just CH2M now. It's not Hill. So if we could do that. And while I'm at it, Carla, on the consent agenda, there was Portland Community Media, which is now Open Signal. So,
I think that's how they submitted
it. We're all getting used to them.
Yeah.
You know. Sounds like a great project, though. And I've been really impressed with the TriMet drivers. When we first started doing them all downtown with light rail and everything, I thought there's no way that we're going to be able to do that. But now, on both the MAX and the bus, the drivers know what they're doing. There was, you know, I have the most grounded office in City Hall because it's right at the level, and there was a crash last week when somebody tried to turn right where it very clearly says do not turn right. Mm. So to the extent that we're going to make it even clearer where people are supposed to be, and then to encourage those who are not familiar with it to perhaps use different routes, I think that would be very helpful.
Thank you. I have a question. Now that I do a lot more walking downtown, I'm shocked at actually what I observe. And this morning, I almost got run over as someone made a turn going up the wrong way on the street.
Sorry about that, Commissioner.
He was in a rush.
That's funny.
I don't judge. But I do think our downtown, as it's getting more congested, and some of the streets are harder to navigate. Out-of-town people that don't realize, like, once you get on the bus mall, you can't make those right turns, for example. Or at least if you do it, it's very, very hazardous because you might get hit by a bus or a MAX. But I want to ask you another question, which is I fully support this and the whole concept of trying to make all the pieces work. And, you know, in the last election cycle, a lot of people talked about, you know, tackling congestion in our city and figuring out how you can do that. And I welcome it. The challenge is we can do our piece, but there's so many other pieces that impact this problem. And the one I'll just cite to that I had some challenges with yesterday is the loss of four lanes on the Morrison Bridge. So, you know, yesterday I need to get from City Hall to Mississippi in order to meet with a friend from the Rebuilding Center. And I encountered four failed intersections getting on the Morrison Bridge. And so I started thinking they were failed because everybody was jumping the yellow to get through the intersection, and it didn't matter, everybody. So they were just failed, and you couldn't move, and you couldn't get on the Morrison. So it took me over an hour to get from City Hall to Mississippi. And the question I wanted to ask is, at what point do we need to consider having people at those intersections, at these critical places where they're failed intersections, when you have this confluence of things happening, construction, bridge work, and others, so that there's actually, like every other city you visit, someone who's managing the traffic and helping to deal with the chaos, particularly at rush hour?
You mean a traffic cop?
Like a traffic cop. Because there are certain places that are worse than others because just of the bridge work and the construction. And I understand there's a cost, so probably the answer is there's a cost. But in other cities that I visited, Europe and in this country, at rush hour and some of those places, you'll have a person, a traffic cop, helping people navigate. We don't usually do that. The closest thing we have, ironically, is when TriMet rerouted the streetcar and did some MAX work. I've actually never seen so many traffic cops at every intersection in the city. And in fact, they were so conscientious at the intersections I walked by, they had three people just standing around managing the traffic, telling you couldn't walk, you couldn't, you know, traverse or managing. So I guess, so the question is, under what circumstances would we consider having a human being manage the traffic at some of these failed intersections?
Well, I don't know if I can speak for the Bureau on this, but I think generally when we have construction projects or that are, you know, impacting regular routes of travel and people are having to make detours and take other routes, that's a good time to be providing people with additional direction. But,
do we have such people?
Well, you know, we have we have a lot of construction projects going on this summer.
No, but does Peabody? Does Peabody have a core of people that are traffic control folks who are trained who can do that?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
It's just interesting. I Morrison Bridge losing four lanes is a significant event, and I guess it would also be helpful if there's a sign. I should have known this, and I have to use Google more effectively, but there's actually no sign telling you that you should beware taking the right turn off of Fourth because you're about to hit a mess. I wonder if, and you're not the right, you're not the right person to put this question to. I'll take it up with Leah, but I wonder if at some point, just from a public safety point of view, we should have folks who are in those intersections.
We have recharted an effort that I'm aware of that maps all the construction projects get around Portland. That's on our website now. So
I think Google or
the PBOTS website can give you a little bit more heads up. But
no, I think my app would probably crash from all the inputs. It's a challenging time. It's
yes.
A good thing. We've got cranes. We've got all this activity. But we do have a lot of failed intersections, and that creates a lot of more hazards for people. And I would say, forget about me spending an hour going what's normally a 10-minute trip. I notice that for pedestrians, it's extremely dangerous. And that would be, I think, a primary reason to have a person managing the traffic. But I'll take that up.
Thank you.
Commissioner, as a former flag girl on the trolley, with the waterfront trolley, I would volunteer to be your personal flag girl, but this new job is just killing me. I'm sorry, guys. It's been a tough week. So this is the beginning stages, correct?
Correct.
Because my concern off the bat is I don't see anything about accessibility for people with mobility challenges, sight impairments, etc. Nothing real specific. I see accessible. I see removing barriers, and I just want to put my pitch in there that when you form that stakeholder committee, that's going to include advocates from the disability community, because if we should really be applying universal design principles to projects like this so they are the most accessible to the most people right off the bat, which makes them great for everybody.
Thank you.
That's my two cents.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I'll note that one of the strategies we're using for this project, because the geography is so large, is to, rather than a sort of traditional stakeholder advisory committee like we've used for most PBOT projects, we'll have what we're calling a sounding board based off of a model in Seattle. So it'll be a group that will help refer us to other people so that we can have a project that a body that can hopefully wears lots of different hats for the central city, but then when we get down to specific design questions on particular streets, we can really bring in the people who are stand to benefit or be impacted or might be using it. So,
cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Is there any public testimony?
I believe one person is still left. Charles Bridge Crane Johnson.
Very good.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is not Jesse Spomberg, but even though we scared Hill off of the CH2M name, there's still the newer commissioners might not be as familiarized with the newest commissioner and the mayor might not know that some of us who are still insistent that under no authority, city authority or state authority, will there be fluoride in the Portland water, are also no fans of CH2M Hill and the tightness there between Randy Leonard and some things that went on in the water department before y'all's time. On this particular work that CH2M will be doing, I also maybe share some concerns that Commissioner Udaly raised, and that there's maybe an equity problem here for people with disabilities. I'm by no means an expert on disabled person mobility, but one thing I notice is when I go through the city it's very strange which crosswalks have audible assistance and which do not. Now, sometimes I think there may be a guideline that non-four-way intersections, such as Burnside and 18th, 19th over by the Timber Stadium, when you have an intersection that's an unstandard shape, it's very hard for a person that has trained hearing to know what's going on in the intersection, whereas a lot of people, when they get to a normal four-way intersection, can just listen. They don't need something going or whatever the audible cue is. But I think that improving equity, that even though this is close to the finalization of the proposal, that maybe you all connect with your favorite person on PCOD and see where there's room to tighten this up, so that for our $500,000 to CH2M, people that are participating in PCOD and representing that community can make sure that their voice about safety is getting heard. And also, I think it's beyond the scope of CH2M's work, but I think that, I don't know where it is, planning sustainability or PBOT, but the idea that intersections fail, and I don't think they need to be police. They could be types of PBOT employees that could just be standing there in the intersection and see, I've got to encourage this car to move so that the other car can use its green light. May, as our city grows, become necessary. I'm sure some tech people will tell us, no, there's a better way. But either we need to have tech people jobs figuring that out, or the next generation of Commissioner Daley flag girl people at the intersection making sure that the red and green get obeyed, or people know how they have to divert. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Any further public testimony? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Fish?
Thank you for the presentation. Aye.
Udaley?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The ordinance is passed. Thank you.